Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast by Urbis Partners. I'm your host, Stephen Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
Hey, it's another show. We're doing a bit of a jargon buster. Yes, we're talking about different ownership types, or what's sometimes called title types here in New Zealand. Now, one of you podcast listeners asked us to explain all of the common terms used by real estate agents that describe the different types of property ownership. Because in New Zealand, there are lots of different ways you can actually own land. So you can have fee simple or freehold or strata title and unit title and leasehold and cross lease. And there are all of these different things. And for first time property investors or property buyers, you can often think, well, I don't actually know what all of these actually mean. But there are some important differences. Now, Andrew, we've just been on the phone to some lawyers talking about, you know what? What's the difference between strata title and stratum and freehold and unit title? So what are those terms? Are they any different and what does it really mean?
Yeah, so the reason that you've got different terms for what is actually essentially most of the time the same thing is because the Unit Titles Act only came out not so long ago. And so now we've got different names for essentially what is the same thing. So often you might hear strata title or unit title. These are essentially the same thing, and I'll go into what they mean. But the reason you might get different names is because the Unit Titles Act came out in 2010. And so now you've got old terminology, but also new terminology as well, referencing the same thing.
Okay, so strata title, stratum and freehold, and unit title are just three words for what is the same thing.
Yeah, essentially these are where you've got a building or a development, often with apartments where you've got common areas that are shared. So things like apartment complexes might have gyms or elevators and corridors, all those kind of things. And so every owner has a title deed for their individual unit within the development, and they own that part there on the title. But you've got areas that are shared as a collective as an owner of that building.
Okay, so there might be two legal descriptions of the property. And when people say title, it's really just the legal definition of the property and of the land. So you would have one title, which is you legally own your own unit. And then on top of that, you would also own a share in the land in the common areas there. And it's important to note that if you have a unit title property or a stratum and freehold or a strata title property, you legally need to have a body corporate. That's a requirement under the Unit Titles Act when you purchase one of those properties. So that comes with a whole heap of other things which we've previously talked about.
And that's because you've got common areas that you need to insure or you need to maintain. So again, if you've got a lift in an apartment complex and it breaks down, you don't want to go to every single one of the other 499 owners and ask them to chip in this month. You should have been putting money aside for that ongoing maintenance.
And then you have some other terms that can have double meanings. So for example, the word freehold. Now that could mean that someone owns a property without a mortgage, but in terms of how land is owned, freehold means the same thing as fee simple. Now, that's just the simplest form of owning a piece of land in New Zealand, which means that you own the land. You own it outright, both the land and the buildings on it. Now, you still need to get council approval if you're going to make major changes to the property that's there, but you own the land, you own the property, and that's what most houses in New Zealand are. But what's really interesting is that sometimes townhouses use a unit title and sometimes they use a fee simple title.
Yeah, so if you have a fee simple title or a freehold title and you've got a set of townhouses, you still have often common areas, which might just be the driveway at that stage. And so then you're going to end up with something like a residence association because you need to collectively maintain that driveway and or you want to have a collective insurance to make it easier for everyone to get insurance or deal with an insurance claim if there was a major event like an earthquake or a flood.
Yeah, so what could happen in that situation is you might own the land underneath your townhouse and you own your townhouse, but then you might own a share of the land in the middle. Or what sometimes happens is one person might own the driveway, but there is an agreement through the residents association about how that is maintained.
Yeah, or it might be an easement as well. And so then the other option is that you again have a unit title for a bunch of townhouses and now we own the land collectively, same as an apartment complex, and we have a body corporate to manage the rights and responsibilities of each individual owner.
And there's a lot of big complex terminology here, but the really important thing is just to focus on who owns the land and how is the access to that land managed? Because then we get to another really interesting way of owning property in New Zealand, which is a cross lease. Now, these properties are generally a little bit less expensive because the land is owned a bit of a different way. So let's say Andrew and I now own properties that are one in front of the other.
We don't live together in this example.
No, we live in separate houses.
Oh, thank God for that.
But close. So I could pop over. I'm just popping in.
Here cup of sugar. Do people still do that?
No one has sugar. No one goes to their neighbour's house and borrows a cup of sugar anymore. You hop in
and
your
robe.
With the curls in my hair. Here I am.
You use Milk Run now.
But that's true. I like that app. But in this case, our properties
are within spitting distance of each other.
One in front of the other. We collectively own the land together, but we lease our section of the property or our section of the land from one another. So I will own my house. Andrew owns his house. We own the land together, and then we rent it off one another, often for 999 years is how long the lease lasts.
It was the poor man's subdivision back in the day. So you can't go and apply for one of these nowadays. I'm guessing the council put them in place to make it easier for, I guess, a suburb to develop at one stage.
Yeah, my understanding is it was making it easier to subdivide a property without subdividing it, really. Now, in this case, although you might own your neighbour's land technically, or own a portion of that land, they've still got exclusive use. So I can't just wander over to Andrew's
Thank
house.
Thank God for that.
You know, and say, well, I own part of this land, and so therefore, where's my cup of sugar?
I'm setting up a picnic in your backyard.
No, he's got exclusive use to his portion of the land, and I've got exclusive access to my portion. Now, where do buyers sometimes get caught out with cross leases?
Yeah, this is where it does get a little tricky because there is that lease agreement in place. There is an agreement that you can't change what's known as the flats plan without consent of your neighbour. So now he's got the pip with me because I didn't invite him over for that wine and cheese night that I had for the other neighbours on the other side who I like a lot better. And I decide I want to put an extension on or I want to put a new fence up. Ed has to approve that change to the flats plan. Now, I got caught out with this because I bought a property and there was a cross lease in place and there was a carport on it. Now, when I bought it, I said, yeah, no problem, I don't care. It's a breach of the flats plan. I settled it, wasn't an issue with that. When I went to sell that property, the person that was buying it, their lawyer picked up, oh, you've breached the flats plan. You can't have that carport there. And so we had to actually remove it before he could settle it.
Oh, that's really interesting. And just for anybody asking, you know, what's a flats plan? It's basically just a bird's eye view of your property with drawings of where the houses are and what the shape of the house is. And can cost quite a bit of money to update that flats plan. And the reason is because then you've got to get a surveyor to come in, actually look at, well, what's changing with the flats plan and update it with the council. So that is just so that everyone knows, well, what are the legal buildings allowed on this cross lease property? Now, having said that, cross lease properties are generally a wee bit cheaper than a freehold property.
Yeah, I remember we did a show just recently where we spoke about the speed in which they sell. And surprisingly enough, there's no real difference between the speed in which they sell compared to a fee simple property, but you do typically pay less for them.
Okay, so far we've talked about stratum titles, stratum and freehold unit titles. Those are all the same. We've talked about fee simple and freehold titles. Those two are the same as well. And then cross lease. The last part I want to talk about are leasehold properties. Talk to us about this.
Yeah, now this is where you don't own the land outright, but you've got the right to use the land for a specified period of time. Now, again, this could be 100 years in some of the contracts and will depend on who originally had the lease on the property and how long it's been since that was signed up. So you might have signed up for 100 years, but now you're 50 into it, so there's only 50 left. Now, there's a fixed agreement that you can put a building on it, or there may already be a building on it, and you pay a land lease to the owner for the duration of the lease term. Now, there's examples, a lot of examples of this in Auckland or in Wellington along the waterfront there. Auckland, places like bordering on Cornwall Park and also St. John's as examples, you can get a little bit caught out with these because the land lease can be more expensive than you're kind of accounting for.
Yeah, one of the reasons for that as well is sometimes the lease for those properties is done as a percentage yield on the property's value. So I know I've seen some at Auckland Central. I remember we did some podcasts about where I think the yield on the land was about 7%. And so as the value of the land goes up, they can adjust the rent to 7% of the land's value. Now, what's the issue with that? 20 years ago in Auckland, a piece of land in the middle of the CBD might not have been worth as much, well, certainly not as much as it is today. So if property prices go up by 7% a year on average in Auckland, which is what it's been since about 1992, if you own a leasehold property, your ground rent has gone up by 7% a year. Now, if you compare that to the average rent in Auckland, which tends to go up by about somewhere between 4 to 5%, depending on which month you crunch the numbers in, your rent as a property investor is going up by 4 to 5%, but your costs on your ground rent is going up by 7%. So over many, many years, that's where leasehold property owners have really started to get caught out, because the ground rent has got out of kilter with the rental market generally.
Way higher than inflation, right?
Oh, significantly higher than inflation. Much higher than household income growth, which has been about 4.2% per year. Whereas if your ground rent's going up by 7% a year after 10 years, it really starts to get out of kilter. But this just gives you a bit of sense. If you're out there buying property and you're kind of a bit of a newbie, okay, well, what do those names mean? Yeah, stratum, stratum title, unit title, freehold, fee simple, leasehold, and cross lease. Those are the main ones you're going to come across against. And of course, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, if you're interested in learning more about property, there have been some significant and substantial tax changes that have just come in on the 1st of April. Now, if you want to understand exactly what it means for Kiwi property investors, come along to my next webinar, Tuesday, the 16th of April, 7 p.m. Links out of the show notes, so tap or swipe over the cover art, links are there, or just go to opuspartners.co.nz/webinar. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Tim Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
We're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.